I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more, want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing waters flow. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield, be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I will ever give to thee, give to thee.
Thank you, men, for that great old hymn of the Christian faith. And thank you, my friend, for joining me for this final broadcast of our anniversary month here on The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher, and I'm delighted to have you with me. During this anniversary month, we're offering you a copy of the Oasis Chorale CD, Hymns of the Church, when you send a donation of any amount during the month of June. I'll give you our contact information at the end of the program, so stay tuned. Your partnership is touching lives all around the world, in places like Paraguay, Kenya, Afghanistan, North Korea, Iran, and many other places. Tens of thousands are hearing the gospel each week in their language. Listen to this amazing report from a station that airs our Arabic language broadcasts in Baghdad, Iraq. A few days ago, Hussein called us and asked to meet with us to hear the word of salvation. Indeed, he came to the radio station and he was crying. He was eager to know Christ as Savior. After I prayed with him, he went out and he was very joyful. He communicated with us and decided to become a part of a discipleship team through which we are in contact with all seekers and new converts. Praise God. Another seeker has found salvation in Jesus Christ. And you, my friend, you had a part in making this possible. God bless you. Let's rejoice together with the angels in heaven.
Oh, glory, sing glory, hallelujah, knowing where pleasure lies.
Recently on The Voice of Hope, we've been studying from Daniel chapter 9 and verses 20 to 27. It's not a long portion of Scripture, but it's very detailed. Our study is titled, The Skill to Understand. In a few moments, we'll return to that study. If you missed the last couple programs, you can log on to our website at heraldsofhope.org and listen to them whenever it's convenient for you. And you can also request an audio CD or a printed copy of this teaching, and I'll tell you how you can receive yours at the close of the program. Now, as we resume our study, I will read the text, Daniel 9, 20-27. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, and till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. At the end of last week's program, we were talking about the 6 specific things that Gabriel said would happen during the period of the 70 weeks. We only had time to look at the first 3 of them, which were to finish the transgression, make an end of sins, and make reconciliation for iniquity. So let's review that final one just a bit, and then we'll move on to the 4th purpose. The final statement of the first 3, make reconciliation for iniquity, seems to refer to the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. Here's how Paul describes this reconciliation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now the Hebrew word keper, when used in relation to sin, is understood by theologians and scholars to mean to cover up or to wipe out, to make it inoperative and to annul. On the positive side, it includes the reinstating of God's favor and freedom from sin and restoration to holiness. You know, this provision was foreshadowed in the Old Testament, but it was revealed more fully at the cross. However, Israel as a nation rejected Jesus and will only experience this reconciliation nationally at his second coming. The next purpose of the 70 weeks will be to bring in the righteousness of the ages, or everlasting righteousness. The goal of everlasting righteousness was God's intention from the very creation of the world. If Adam and Eve wouldn't have listened to Satan's lies, we'd be experiencing the righteous rule of God today. Daniel saw the righteous rule of God in his dreams of chapters 2 and 7. Another purpose of the 70 weeks will be to seal up the vision and prophecy. In other words, once the prophecy is fulfilled, it can be sealed up or laid aside. To seal up is the same word translated earlier as to make an end, as in to make an end of sins. There seems to be an intentional connection between these two purposes. At the time of the end, when Israel ceases her sinning and truly turns to God, the prophecies concerning her chastisement will be sealed up. They will no longer be needed, because she will never again forsake the Lord. The final purpose Gabriel establishes for the 70 weeks is to anoint the most holy, or the most holy place. The most literal translation of this is to anoint a holy of holies. When the expression holy of holies was not prefaced by the word the, it usually referred to the articles of the temple or to the entire temple complex. Now, Ezekiel chapters 40 to 48 indicate that there will be a temple built for the service of God during Messiah's millennial reign. Surely that temple will be built, and the surrounding area will be anointed in consecration for God's service. As I observe what Gabriel said and compare it with history, none of these things have been yet completely fulfilled. It is true that Jesus did come to provide reconciliation, but in the context of the Jewish nation, they rejected him. And so all of this seems to be yet in the future. Notice in verse 26 that after Messiah is cut off, literally suffers the death penalty, there is a reference made to a prince who is to come. His followers will destroy the city and the sanctuary. His end shall be with the flood, and till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now one might initially think of the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, and that's certainly a partial fulfillment, but there are some details given to Daniel that don't fit that experience. So here's an important question in our study. If Messiah is cut off at the end of the 69 weeks of years, when does the 70th week begin? There are two main interpretations about this final week of years. First, there's the continuous view. Some scholars say that the 70th week follows immediately after the 69th week. Other scholars see a gap of unspecified length between the 69th and the 70th weeks. This interpretation is called the gap view. If the continuous view is correct, then the 70th week ended sometime after the death of Jesus, early in the book of Acts, but before the destruction of Jerusalem. Furthermore, it means that everything in the prophecy has been fulfilled, and there is no prophetic significance remaining. Now, given the language of the text and the details that are provided, that seems hard to accept. The gap interpretation allows for a literal interpretation of the text, something that we should always assume unless it is stated otherwise. And that's why I believe the gap interpretation makes the most sense. Immediately, some will ask, how can you justify reading a gap into the text when it's not specifically stated? That's a good question. First, I believe it is the most natural reading of the text. We need to remember that the Hebrew way of thinking is not as fixated on continuous chronology as our Western way of thinking. Verse 24 speaks about the 70 weeks, and we immediately assume that they are in unbroken succession. But if you temporarily set aside verse 24 and note the order of events, it becomes clear that the first 69 weeks end with a specific historical event. Messiah is revealed. Then there are two more events that follow. Messiah is cut off, and the city is destroyed. Then after those events, we come to the final week in verse 27. If we follow the chronology closely, both the death of Messiah and the destruction of the temple occur between the 69th and the 70th weeks. Now remember, we're dealing with weeks of years in this passage of Scripture. Since the 69 weeks of years ended with the triumphal entry, as we said prior to this, and Jerusalem was destroyed by Titus in 70 AD, that's 40 years after the end of the 69th week. But the text says the city is destroyed before the final week. Therefore, there must be an unspecified gap of years between these two weeks, the 69th and the 70th. Now, as I've noted numerous times already in our study of the book of Daniel, these gaps in the prophetic scriptures are not unusual at all. Let me give you just a few well-known examples. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now we all rejoice in the first part of verse 6. A child is born, a son is given. We celebrate it every year at Christmas. But is the government of the world on Jesus' shoulders now? Is he sitting on the throne of David forever? Here's another one, this one directly from the lips of Jesus as he read in the synagogue at Nazareth. He was reading from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book, and he sat down. But if you read those verses, you know he stopped reading right in the middle of the sentence. Why did he do that? Well, the very next phrase is, and the day of vengeance of our God. Jesus' first coming was not about judgment. It was about bringing the good news of the gospel of peace. Nearly 2,000 years later, we're still waiting for that day of vengeance. So Jesus himself, God in the flesh, by his own reading of his own inspired word, shows us he understood this gap interpretation. I believe the Apostle Peter also puts this in perspective in the first chapter of his first letter. Let's look at verses 10 and 11, 1 Peter chapter 1. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Notice, the prophets were looking carefully for Christ's coming, and they got the sequence right. First the sufferings, and then the glory. But one thing they were perplexed about was the timeline. They inquired and they searched carefully, but they weren't given the answer. Peter says their prophecies were given for our benefit. Daniel, too, clearly saw the sufferings of Christ. Messiah would be cut off and have nothing. Remember, the soldiers gambled for Jesus' only possession, his clothing. And I believe, contrary to our artwork, that Jesus hung naked on the cross, fully exposed to humiliation and shame. He literally had nothing. And then Daniel also saw the coming glory of Christ to be ushered in at the end of the final 70th week. What he didn't see was the intervening centuries between the two. There's yet one more argument in the gap interpretation, and this one comes from Jesus as well. In verse 27, Gabriel refers to this coming prince of the people. He shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate. The original language here is difficult. Martin Luther rendered it this way: upon the wings stands the abomination of desolation. Now, regardless of the exact meaning of the phrase, note that Daniel connects this abomination with the ending of the daily sacrifice. And Jesus, in Matthew 24:15, refers to this text. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. And the reason for this warning is given in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. So whatever is meant by the abomination of desolation, Daniel places it at the exact midpoint of the final 70th week, while our Lord placed it at the end, just prior to his second coming in glory. Therefore, and I'm quoting Alva McLean, he says, the 70th week must also come at the end of the present age, just prior to Christ's coming in glory. And that's the end of the quote. You know, this acceptance of the gap interpretation also saves us from the view that's espoused by some people that God is through with the Jew. Gabriel told Daniel that 70 weeks are determined for your people. And since we have concluded that the 70th week is yet in the future, we also must conclude that God has a place for his ancient, chosen, earthly people in that plan. Gabriel's message implies that plan will be brought to fruition in that final 70th week.
We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be.
My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. If you missed the program last week, you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to it whenever it's convenient for you. You can also request an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, The Skill to Understand. You can contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Another option is to log on to the website at heraldsofhope.org and use the contact button that's right on our homepage. And there's also a place there for you to submit a prayer request. And remember, June is our anniversary month. This is the final program where I will offer to you a copy of the Oasis Chorale CD, Hymns of the Church, Volume 1, when you send a donation of any amount. If you ask for the anniversary CD, we'll know what you mean. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, you can visit our page where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or visit our website, Heralds of Hope, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. You can also find a link there to sign up for our weekly blog post. And remember, you can request a copy of the Oasis Chorale CD, Hymns of the Church, Volume 1, when you send a donation of any amount. Just ask for the anniversary CD, and we'll know what you mean. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number 866-960-0292. We depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, I'll look for you next week here on the Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll finish our study, The Skill to Understand. And until we meet again,
I've told all my troubles goodbye, goodbye, say goodbye to each tear and each sigh, every sigh. For this world where I roam cannot be my home. I'm bound for a land in the sky,
up in the sky, because
I walk and I talk with my Lord,
walking with my Lord,
and I feast every day on His word.
I'm feasting on His word and saying,
heaven is near and I can't stay here.
So it's
goodbye, world, goodbye.
Don't you weep for me when I'm gone, cause I won't have to leave here alone.
And when I hear that last trumpet sound,
my feet won't stay on the ground.
I'm gonna rise with a shout, gonna fly. I'm gonna ride with my Lord through the sky.
I'm saying heaven is near
and I can't stay here.
So it's
goodbye, world, goodbye.
Well,
I won't have the blues anymore. When I step across to that shore, and I'll never find, for I'll be behind all my heartaches and tears evermore.
Forevermore, another
day.